Fax and Childress and John Hight.
Rattler awaits the shotgun snap, gets it. Blitz coming, pressure coming. Barrett Carter getting out and sacking Rattler.
They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry! With 6/10 of a second remaining.
He could have easily gotten 5 or 6 yards if he would have just pulled that thing down and dove forward.
But why do you even ponder passing? I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
Oh, what a play by Mike Williams. A touchdown of 19 yards. I mean, he put Jamarcus King on his back and gave that chicken a ride.
He throws shoot.
Clark in a straight shot. Oh, he didn't do that. He threw it away. Ping, Pagis.
To the sideline, caught first down. Woo!
What a hit, Denzel Ward! You got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
Well, there's Chase Hunter. 2 seconds. One launches a three. Good if it goes. It does. Chase Hunter, the three at the buzzer sends Clemson into the locker room up 10.
A double pumper. That was a double pump shot.
That was another one from the band down by the river.
Now, let's go live to Fax and Childress and John Hight.
We welcome you in, everybody. Tuesday edition of Fax on Sports with Fax and Childress and John Hight right here on The Roar. It's Tuesday, June 24th, 2025. We are glad to have you with us. Much to discuss on the program today. And if you'd like to hop in on the phone lines or the Adams & Co. Roofing text line, 654-ROAR is the number, and you know where to find us. Much to discuss throughout the course of the program today, including we talked NBA Finals, we talked the tragic Tyrese Halliburton injury, which did get confirmed, and that's part of the news today. That he tore his Achilles and he will miss the entire 2025-2026 season. Might read off a little bit of the Instagram and Twitter post that he put up last night because it was pretty emotional stuff and it was pretty raw. You just got to feel for a guy like Halliburton, man, and wishing him the speedy recovery. Want to see him back on the field as soon as possible. Also in the world of the NBA, which we missed, John, in all the chaos yesterday. By the way, great event out at Upcountry Fiber in Seneca. Super appreciative for all those folks out there. It was a great turnout for their customer appreciation event and their summer bash. So appreciate everybody that tuned into the show yesterday, came out to Seneca and showed some love to the folks at Upcountry Fiber. But we had so much going on with that show, we didn't even get to the Kevin Durant trade, John. So we got to get to the KD trade. Also, Boston has started their fire sale, if you will, as of last night. But I actually think they won the deal. And I'm a little bit confused at what Portland's method to the madness is, taking on a 33-year-old Drew Holiday on a 3-year contract with $40 million a year on it. So we'll break that down. The Atlanta Braves are wishing that they could just play the New York Mets every game at this point, and I'm wishing as well. The most 2025 Braves thing possible at this point would be to sweep the Mets, lose 2 out of 3 to the Marlins, and then bounce back and immediately beat the Mets once again. Acuña stays on the biggest heater I think I may have ever seen in a Braves jersey. He's hitting .396 with a .500 OBP, had a home run last night. Matty O stays hot. The two longest on-base streaks in Major League Baseball are Matt Olson at number one and Ronald Acuña Jr. at number two. The Braves have two players right now, and seven players that can't hit baseball is kind of where we're at with Atlanta. We've got a lot of college football to discuss. I was hearing Mickey and Landon talk about, and Will Clanton, of course, talk about North Carolina football on the way in. I want to get some ACC topics with kickoff right around the corner in less than a month. And then Diamondbacks star Corbin Carroll is headed to the injured list with a fractured left wrist. We've been monitoring those teams in the wild card situation for the sake of the Atlanta Braves, who are not going to win the division, but could backdoor into the wild card, and the Diamondbacks are nowhere near as much of a power player without their star in Corbin Carroll. Much to discuss today. John, how was your Monday? And excited here for Tuesday with you, brother.
Looking forward to it. Monday was good. Looking forward to breaking it all down this morning.
I've got a men's league game tonight, and we play the former Furman starting point guard that's the all-time three-point leader, so I'm going to get cooked tonight. That's what I've got going on off the air later today, so pray for me. Anything under 35 points, I'm considering a win, because I suck at defense and I'm not good at basketball. So let's hope we can shut down Alex Hunter tonight, because I was looking through, like, you know, on the apps, you can do the little roster. I was looking through the roster. I'm like, Alex Hunter. I click on the profile and it's him in the Furman jersey. I'm like, yeah, dude, I grew up rooting for. I now have to guard for 40 minutes. So not looking forward to that tonight. But we're going to hope that we can play a little bit better basketball than Drew Holiday played in the playoffs this year, John, for the Boston Celtics. And we can start there. 654 Roar is the number before we shift gears to the Braves. I want to get a little of this NBA trade discourse out of the way, because we have had some movement across the major, or across the association, as they call it. And we also have the NBA draft coming up just around the corner as well, John, with Cooper Flagg locked in to go number one and Dylan Harper pretty much locked in to go number two. But a lot of teams are currently trying to move up, including those Atlanta Hawks that we talked about. But first and foremost, let's get to the Kevin Durant trade. I just want to get your opinion on this. Obviously, you know, we're concluding with the playoffs. We're not a big NBA show during the regular season unless a couple things happen. One, a trade. Two, major news that is worth acknowledging. We'll cover it in the playoffs. We'll break down the playoff series. But during the regular season, there's just more important sports that are going on. Now, I will say this. I believe the NBA offseason to be about 10 times more entertaining than the NBA regular season. And I'm being dead serious when I say that as well. The regular season has little to no intrigue to me in 2025. I don't like the pace of play. I don't like the effort level from the players. But the offseason always sparks some rumors. It always sparks some moves. You have teams shuffling up their cores. And with a wide-open Eastern Conference and a loaded Western Conference, Kevin Durant staying in the West is not a good sign for the remainder of the Western Conference, as it's just going to continue to be a stronger and stronger league going forward. John, what were your thoughts on the return for Phoenix, who has really screwed up this whole process every step of the way? They mortgaged their future for this core with KD, and they really only get one top 10 pick in Jalen Green back out of the deal.
So we have now seen two franchises build everything around Kevin Durant and have nothing to show for it.
That would be correct.
So why in the world do I think this time at age 37 is going to be any different?
You should not.
Okay, good.
We're on the same page.
All right. I think that this was much to do about nothing. I think it was ludicrous that this was made on the day of Game 7 of the NBA Finals. And I think what you had said, I don't necessarily think that you were wrong, that the regular season is not as entertaining as the offseason.
Yeah.
That is a massive problem for the NBA.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
That's a massive problem for the NBA. That on Game 7 day, that you haven't had a Game 7 in 9 years. And yet all anybody wanted to talk about is Kevin Durant.
Right.
Who cares? I'm sorry. Kevin Durant has his place in basketball is cemented, in my opinion. No one will ever question the athletic ability and the basketball prowess that he possesses. But in terms of actually winning,
he couldn't he's do not without a, he, Curry.
He's not a winner. And so I know that we get so caught up in legacy talk. And I mean, you get on Twitter Sunday afternoon and it's, what does the Kevin Durant trade to Houston mean for LeBron James's legacy? Like, that's an actual conversation. I just don't care, personally.
Yeah.
I think that the situation in Phoenix was so poorly managed. But then again, this is now multiple destinations where everything is poorly managed, but the one common denominator is Kevin Durant.
So I've got some numbers for you about KD's tenure post-Golden State. Three times traded, two playoff series wins, six coaches fired. Think about that.
Yeah.
Three times he has been traded and had double the coach or triple the coaches fired than the amount of times he has actually won a playoff series since leaving Golden State.
Oh, this will probably get the text line going. For all the talk about GM LeBron, isn't he way better than Durant?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, even just as a general manager, he's a better person to have on your team than Kevin Durant is.
We talk about LeBron as the coach killer and the GM.
Right, yeah.
KD does the same stuff. He wins less, and he's not as good of a player.
And he gets more coaches fired.
Yeah, and he ran to a 73-9 team that he blew a 3-1 lead to in the Western Conference Finals. Yet we hold LeBron, and I don't even like LeBron.
I don't either.
But we hold LeBron to all these narratives about him being a GM and him getting these coaches fired. Why does nobody look into the context of the fact that Kevin Durant has had six coaches in the last three seasons, he's been traded three times in the last 4 years, and he's only won two playoff series in totality since leaving Steph Curry at Golden State?
I think because you're afraid you're going to get bullied online by Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I mean, he'll tweet at you.
I'm sure if Kevin Durant knew of the RoarFM.com and could go to the podcast feature, he'd probably tweet at me right now with some of the stuff I'm saying.
KD, you're welcome on the show, bro. Like, anytime.
Yeah, open invite for Kevin Durant on the program if he would ever like to join us.
If there's ever an all-league caliber athlete that's going to come on our show and defend themselves, it's probably Kevin Durant.
If I'm the Houston Rockets, and listen, I can understand you make the case on paper that you have a go-to scorer now, and that makes the young team better. I get it. But, man, you were just the 2 seed in the Western Conference that, as you have built it, is so darn difficult. It's like the SEC. I just wouldn't have messed up the core. Like, I would have let that group grow together. I mean, what'd you say was the regular season record for the Rockets last year?
The Rockets won 52 games, and they were the 2 seed. They were really good.
Yeah, 2 seed. I understand if you want to add a veteran to a young core to help kind of show winning and show how to, like we talked about with the Thunder, how they had to learn over the course of like a couple of years how to win playoff series. My issue is you brought in a guy who doesn't win, doesn't play all the time, and I don't know how great of a teammate he is.
This is my problem, is when I see these teams with young cores, right, and I see a Houston, and I see Shingun, and Amen Thompson, and Jabari Smith Jr., and Cam Whitmore, and Tari Eason. They've got an extremely talented young nucleus of players to build around. They have a great head coach, regardless of the off-the-court stuff with Ime Udoka. And Udoka is who he is, right? He wants to get gritty on defense, he wants to sit in the gap, and he wants that to be the identity of this team. I will say this. Kevin Durant is still a top 15 player in the league. Houston won this trade on paper as far as valuation goes. However, if I am acquiring a guy that's 37 years old, and I am quote-unquote going for it, I want that guy to be a leader. I want that guy to be a guy that's going to be able to hold Amen Thompson's hand and say, son, you've got the keys, and you are the most athletically talented freak in this league. Because that's what Amen Thompson is right now. He is a generational-type defender who is a freak athlete. The problem is, he can't beat me in a three-point shooting contest. So KD needs to mentor Amen Thompson, and I just don't know if that's who KD is as a teammate, leader, etc. I think he's a cool dude and good teammate as far as like getting along with people goes, but when you bring in that 37-year-old superstar, John, you want them to lead. And let's face it, that's never been KD. KD's never been Batman on a team that's won anything of semblance. He's gone to the finals once without Steph Curry in his career, and they lost to LeBron in 5. So I guess I just don't really understand investing eggs in the basket of a number one option Kevin Durant-led team in 2025 when he's 37 years old, he's costing you $54 million, and he's never won as Batman.
Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, was this a sign-and-trade, or was this just a trade?
This was just a move.
So he has 1 year left on his deal.
They were under the impression that there is going to be an extension that directly coincides with the deal. That's the messaging from NBA reporters around the league, is that Durant was talking to a bunch of these different teams that they were in trade conversations with and didn't want to go anywhere that he wasn't going to get extended. So the rumor, again, not confirmed, this is just what people are speculating, is that KD is going to re-up on a 2-year deal after this year.
Okay. On the other side of the trade, how do you create a starting five with 4 shooting guards on the team and Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, Green, you've got Grayson Allen.
Dude, this is the most unserious franchise I've ever seen. Like, I will say this right now, okay? I like Jalen Green more than your average NBA fan by tenfold. Like, Texter gets in and says they needed to get rid of Green. He was sitting on the bench in crunch time for a reason. I don't disagree with you. I think that the Jalen Green thing is between the ears. I think somebody needs to, like, respectfully borderline get in his face and slap him and be like, you are one of the most talented players in the league. Please, for the love of God, stop jacking contested mid-range jumpers 40 times a game.
So you sent him to Phoenix, because that's definitely going to be the place that gives him the wake-up call.
So you sent him to Phoenix with Bradley Beal, who's made a living and stolen money for jacking contested mid-ranges 40 times a year. I think this is a disaster. Now, we do have people on the text line getting in saying, logic would say you need to trade one of Booker, Beal, or Jalen Green. I don't disagree with that. I think they need to trade one of the three.
But here's the problem.
But there's a problem with that, because Beal has that no-trade clause.
And that's the one that they definitely want to get rid of.
Yeah, and I wouldn't take Bradley Beal for a bag of Frito Lays right now. Not with that dollar sign next to his name.
Is it close to a max?
Yeah, I think he's getting 55 M's this year. Let me stand by on this. Let me make sure.
Yeah, no wonder he turned down every trade offer during the regular season.
I get to live in Phoenix and make $55 million to take bad shots, and I have no expectations attached to me. Sign me up. I'm in the facility every day at 7 a.m. with a smile on my face, knowing that I'm robbing the franchise. That's got to be such a rewarding feeling. Walking into your GM's office knowing that they want you to decline that player option and just having a cheesy smile on your face saying, give me my $50 million, sign that contract and opt in.
I'll see you at practice.
Bradley Beal's making $53 million this year and has a player option for $57 million next year. Nobody on planet Earth is taking that contract unless it's like Brooklyn. And the issue with Phoenix is they would have to attach draft capital to Bradley Beal to get him off the books. Now, here's the issue with that. They traded all their picks for Kevin Durant. Like, this is genuine malpractice how this has transpired in the last 4 years. And listen, I don't love the guy, and I know we got to take a quick break. I feel for Devin Booker. Devin Booker was just in the finals as a number one option. They blew up his whole core. They tried to build this super team with KD. It failed miserably, and now he's stuck playing with Bradley Beal and Jalen Green, which I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy.
So now we're going to build a super team around Kevin Durant again.
Cool. Yeah, I guess.
Can't wait to see how this is going to be any different.
Let's unpack this a little bit more on the other side of the break. We'll get to some Braves, too, here in this first hour. And we also have to talk about the deal last night that came across my phone at like 12:30 with Anthony Simons headed from Portland to Boston, Drew Holiday going the other way. We'll talk about that and more. Braves baseball, NBA trades, NBA draft stuff coming up in this hour. Facts and Childress and John Hite continuing on The Roar right after this.
All right, are you tired of your dusty, cracked, and stained garage floor? Do what all your neighbors are doing and have it coated. But please, do yourself a favor and don't hire just anybody who says that they do floor coatings. You'll regret it. I'm Jake Wilson, owner of Iron Drive Floor Coatings, and we've been the premier concrete coating company in the upstate since 2011. We take pride in doing things the right way, with quality employees, equipment, and materials. You get the very best with Iron Drive. Visit our website today for a free quote at irondrivegaragefloors.com.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and creates an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-641. 0176 or visit cantycanfixit.com.
It's boating season and Eclipse Marine Seneca and Clemson Marina can help you find the boat of your dreams before July 4th. Shop top brands including Veranda, Crestliner, Lund, Bayliner, Pinecraft, and more at Eclipse Marine Seneca and Clemson Marina. Whether you're looking to buy or rent a boat or service your boat by certified Yamaha technicians, Clemson Marina can get you on the water. Don't let the summer pass you by. Visit Eclipse Marina Seneca or Clemson Marina to explore new and pre-owned boats, take out a rental, or service your boat with certified Yamaha technicians.
Rely on the pros at EnviroMulch for any outdoor project. Trust EnviroMulch as they have the best products to protect your landscape and plants and help them retain moisture, enhancing your home and saving money. Order online at EnviroMulch.com.
At Toyota of Easley, now is the best time to get a new Toyota Tundra or Tacoma with financing rates as low as 1.99%. We have a huge selection of trucks on the lot and many certified used trucks as well for pleasure or business. Toyota of Easley has the truck that will work for you. Hurry on over and pick up the truck you need today. Call 864-855-2233 to make an appointment or shop toyotaofeasley.com or stop in for a test drive today.
Another night on a lumpy mattress? Wake up, Greenville. Engineered Sleep's got your back, literally. For 90 years, they've handcrafted eco-friendly mattresses right here in South Carolina. On a budget, the Today mattress starts under $300. Hot sleeper? The Duo mattresses use cooling natural latex, wool, and have dual firmness. Sleep better? Guaranteed with their 100-night trial. Engineered Sleep. Crafted locally, loved nationally. Visit EngineeredSleep.com or stop by the Greenville showroom today.
For a move that's as smooth as it is affordable, trust Tiger Moving Company. Our team of highly trained professionals is dedicated to providing extraordinary customer service, making your transition stress-free. Recognized with multiple awards, we are Greenville's top choice for reliable moving services
Don't let moving be a hassle. Visit our website, tigermovinggreenville.com, or call 908-9028 today to experience the Tiger difference. Tiger Moving Company, where your move is our mission.
Combine a Bojangles Chicken Supreme with a toasted bun that's great on the go, and you get Bo's Bird Dog. Grab two for $5 for a limited time only. It's Bo time.
Hey, ladies. Mark your calendars for the 16th Dabo Sweeney Ladies Clinic, presented by The Roar. Join us on Saturday, July 19th at Little John Coliseum for a day filled with football, shopping, and fighting for a cure for breast cancer. Meet the 2025 Tiger players and staff and shop from over 40 amazing vendors. Registration is open until Friday, June 27th. All proceeds benefit breast cancer initiatives in South Carolina. You can register at dabosallinteam.com. That's dabosallinteam.com. Go Tigers. See y'all in July.
Hey, Joe Fortenball here. Whether you're locking in your home run picks or riding with your favorite golfers this summer, ESPN Bet is your sportsbook for all the action. Go from checking stats on your favorite teams and players to placing bets in just a few taps. Plus, new customers can get $100 in bonus bets when you make your first $10 wager. Download the ESPN Bet app and sign up with the promo code JOEQ to get started today. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Offer not available in New York.
Do your summer plans include travel? Make sure your prep includes more than just flights and hotels. Stay up to date with COVID-19 vaccination, especially if you're 65 or older or have certain health conditions. There have been surges in COVID-19 in the summer, too. It's important to help protect yourself no matter your destination. So check eligibility and schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. That's VaxAssist.com. Brought to you by Pfizer.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
Your home for the Upstate's best sports talk radio 24 hours a day.
You guys are the best station in town.
You got the best radio station going.
You guys are the best, man.
We are The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
We welcome you back in Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress. And John, how you continues right here on The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in with us. We're continuing to talk some NBA trade stuff, doing some catch-up work for what happened over the weekend and last night. Then we're going to shift gears to some Atlanta Braves talk as the Braves got a 3-2 win last night over the New York Mets. But John, we were talking about this Bradley Beal contract. We were talking about the KD trade. And I guess my final thoughts on this before we shift gears to the Simons trade and the Braves would be, something's got to budge in Phoenix, all right? You're not going to play Booker, Green, and Beal together for 82 games a season, and if you are, you're going to stink. It's just point-blank period. It's that simple in my mind. I don't know what the method out of this mess is at this point for Phoenix, but you're not going to be able to trade Beal, so I think you might just have to take your L there and play him this year, unless you can find some trade partner where, number one, they're willing to take the 53 M's this year and the $57 million player option next year for a player that's just not very good anymore, and he has to approve his no-trade clause, or the much easier option, you trade Jalen Green, who is cheaper, better, and younger with more upside, who is the more valuable asset.
I'm trying to remember. Was it the Suns or was it the Wizards who gave Bradley Beal this contract?
I want to say that this was the Washington Wizards that gave him it was the Wizards, and then the Wizards traded him to the Suns.
I was just trying to remember who should be blamed for the contract itself.
Washington.
Okay.
Yeah. Beal will be turning 33 next year, making $57 million, coming off of multiple injury-riddled seasons, and he's also regressed immensely throughout the course of his Phoenix career. And doesn't play any defense and has a bad shot selection. That's a terrible contract, like arguably the worst in the NBA. I think Jalen Green probably ends up getting rerouted, and if he doesn't, then this is a big opportunity for Jalen Green to kind of rewrite the script on his NBA career and make the most of a new opportunity in Phoenix. Listen, I think that Booker and Jalen Green can be a dynamic 1-2 punch, but as we mentioned with Green, my evaluation on him is between the ears. I think that it's IQ and game IQ related. He's got all the natural talent in the world. He's a 6'5 freak athlete that can explode at the rim. He's dunking on guys. He's got a crazy good three-point shot. He's got a pull-up jumper that's really smooth. But at the end of the day, he's got no in-between game in the mid-range and the pull-up. He doesn't have a nice floater package, and he gets caught in those areas in the in-between game far too often. He tries to force shots and passes way too frequently. He just needs to mature more as a player and get bigger, faster, and stronger. And to be candid, he needs to take basketball more serious and stop getting on Instagram live with, you know, his girlfriend, who he has a child with now, who's like 43 years old, and Jalen Green. He just hasn't seemed like he's been focused on the right things, in all honesty. His game hasn't really grown or progressed over the course of the last couple years, and that's why you kind of saw a stagnation in development in Houston and then deciding to move elsewhere and go pick up a guy like Kevin Durant to try and raise their ceiling. So that's where I'm at as of right now on the whole Houston and Phoenix trade thing. I think it's a win-win. I think they squeeze KD for the most juice they could get in a young asset in Green that matches the salaries. They get the 10th pick in the draft and a couple seconds for the road. But at the end of the day, like, Phoenix monumentally screwed this up with the whole KD extension and acquiring Bradley Beal, and there's not a whole lot of ways out of this mess, in my opinion. And to be honest, once again, folks, I'm not sure how many teams in the NBA currently have a worse situation than the Phoenix Suns when it comes to assets and capital.
I can think of one.
One of which, I was going to say, that's going to naturally transition us.
I can think of one, my friend, and that is, you were telling me this during the break. I was not aware of this, so please walk this out.
Yeah.
But are the Charlotte Hornets the worst basketball franchise to ever exist?
It's arguable. So I was telling John during the break that an issue that the Hornets have now encountered in the last couple of drafts is that a lot of these premier prospects are refusing to come and even work out for Charlotte because they don't want to play for the Hornets. Like, this is seen in the NBA agent world as a place for prospects to die, where development does not transpire. People don't like LaMelo. They don't like
the persona
that he gives off. They think he's selfish, and they don't think he's reliable. Again,
I wonder why.
I think he's uber talented, but I think all those qualms are fair with LaMelo Ball to date.
100%.
So you have a losing franchise. Now, I will say this. They cleaned house in the front office, right? They're trying to make moves. I think they've made some nice steps in the right direction as far as like an ideology standpoint goes for the future, but they are still a long way away from contention in Charlotte. And most importantly, LaMelo has to play like 50 games in a season plus before I buy in that anything's going to happen there, because your best player's on the court 30 times a season. How are you going to win?
I think that they have made one good draft pick in the last 10 years, and that was Miller from Alabama.
Yeah, I like Brandon Miller. He's got to stay on the court, too, though. He blew his leg out last year. Like, that whole team's injury-riddled.
I would trade LaMelo Ball as soon as possible, because I completely agree with the narrative around him.
Yeah.
I think he cares about getting paid, and that's it. Does not care about winning. Does not care about being a good teammate. Does not care about producing a winner in Charlotte. Wants to make sure he gets the max contract.
Yeah.
That is the number one goal for LaMelo Ball. I think you need to trade him as soon as humanly possible. Get something for him. Because if 9 of the top 10 picks, what do the Hornets have, the fourth selection?
Yeah, I think they've got the
9 of the top 10 are refusing to work out for you. The only player who should be doing that is Cooper Flagg.
Yeah.
Because it's known he's going 1-1.
Flagg, Harper, Bailey, and like four other premier prospects, they all just straight up declined. And now Charlotte's apparently looking to move down.
Well, you'd have to, because you haven't worked out anybody in your draft range. I'm floored by this. Like, unless, I can't believe I'm about to come to his defense. But the way that we eviscerated Caleb Williams on this station, on this show, when the report came out around the NFL draft that he was trying to do everything he could to not go to Chicago the year prior, and I crushed him.
Yeah.
But this is completely okay in the NBA that the majority of the prospects can look at a franchise and say, nah, I'm good?
Ace Bailey isn't working out for anyone. Ace Bailey is just completely, like, abandoned the draft workout process. I want to say that he just worked out for the Wizards in the top 10, and his agent is declining workouts. Yeah. I mean, that's the day and age we live
in. I don't follow the NBA draft near as much as the NFL. It was kind of news to me when you said the draft is this week.
Yeah.
So, like, I put my hand up. Like, I am not as educated on the NBA draft as I am the NFL. But it shocks me that we can have 9 of the top 10 prospects tell a franchise, nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
Don't waste your time selecting me.
Hornets are in trouble, man. That's a dire future.
Like, what do you do?
You either draft somebody that doesn't want to play for you or you trade down.
Where everybody in the league knows that nobody wants to play for you, so they're going to be able to acquire the fourth pick for peanuts.
I feel bad
for
Charlotte.
They have no leverage.
I feel bad for their fans. Like, I feel bad for the authentic fans that are really trying to stick it through.
Yes.
Because they don't even go to the play. Like, this isn't one of those things where you're like the Hawks, where the Hawks go to the playoffs every once in a while, and they're like, okay, we made the Eastern Conference Finals however many years back, and we had that 61 season a decade. Like,
it's not the Chicago Bulls who were just trying to get into the play-in game every year and lose.
Like, the Hornets have nothing. They have absolutely nothing. So I really hope that Charlotte turns it around from, like, a local element. Because I kind of like the Hornets. Like, I would prefer the Hornets and the Panthers win.
Sure, absolutely.
I would say I'm indifferent, but root for them out of the local interest level for that. But I don't see the path out of this for Charlotte with LaMelo at the helm anytime soon.
And you're going to bring Steve Clifford back at some point in time again down the road and, you know, keep repeating that disaster?
Yeah.
If everybody knows that LaMelo is not a serious player, at least in Charlotte, and nobody wants to play with him, then it's time to move on.
Yep, and they're paying him the max.
That's what I'm... It makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, good knows, you get on the internet, you see enough videos of him driving sports cars around Charlotte like it's, you know, Fast and the Furious movies.
That is true. Texter gets in and says, Charlotte seems like a cursed place for pro sports. The Panthers will get better before the Hornets. Agree with that.
Without a question, because the Panthers at least...
The Panthers have a pulse right now.
They care.
Yeah.
They care about trying to put together a winner. Like, David Tepper, as much as we all may not like him and his antics and the way he goes about things, because we don't...
He wants to win. Yeah.
You hire Dan Morgan to be the GM because you want to win. You go and get Dave Canales to be the head coach to help... get something out of Bryce Young because you want to win.
He wouldn't have fired Reich 8 months into the experiment and paid that massive $40 million buyout if he didn't want to win.
Right.
Tepper's terrible at his job, but he wants to win.
Yeah, right. He may not be executing it correctly, but I feel like his heart's in the right place. With the Hornets? Other than making sure that a couple players get filthy, stinking rich? Because I don't even know how you can tell me they're turning a profit with the gate.
I'll come play. If we're just handing out contracts, like I say this every time, I'll come play. I can be bad at basketball.
Well, I don't know, man.
Dollars.
You opened the show with, I'm about to get cooked by a former Furman guard tonight. I don't know if they're
going to. I'll go get cooked by significantly better players. Like, the Hornets are just giving out money to people. Texter gets in and says Steve Clifford is the Eddie Rosario, Jesse Chavez of the NBA. He just keeps coming back. On that note, we'll hit Delvin real quick on the phones. 654.
Man, that is spot on.
Delvin, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
We're doing great, man. Blessed to be here today
how
on a Tuesday.
Is you got Ace Bailey don't want to play for them. That's how bad it is.
Yeah,
you
like
play for them. You don't want to play for them. The next, you don't want to play for the 3 team, the number 3 pick, the number 4 pick, the number 5 pick. You want to play for the number 6, 7, and 8 pick.
Yeah, I don't really understand Ace Bailey's infatuation with the Washington Wizards, but, you know, to each their own, brother.
I think somebody said that he wants to be the man, like he want to be the wing guy, had a point, scored a point, stuff like that. If your shelf is like that, if I'm a coach, I don't want one of you on my team.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want Ace Bailey if I'm Washington with the momentum I have established right now. I don't love Ace as a prospect. I haven't done as much research this year on the NBA draft, but I'm not super high on Ace, and I'm really surprised to see him conducting himself in this manner throughout that process.
And what do you think about the move yesterday between Portland and the Celtics? Seem like the Celtics are on their way to doing that cost cutting. Everybody was talking about trying to get an electric test.
Yeah, I think this is a brilliant move from the best GM in basketball and Brad Stevens. I think the Celtics win this trade running away. Listen.
Do you think I think on where they win the trade if they can re-sign Simons now.
I don't.
Simons in last year's contract.
Yeah, I don't know what that looks like. I think Anthony Simons is kind of destined to be a guy that rots on a bad team and chucks shots, if you want me to be honest. He's not really a Brad Stevens guy as far as two-way ability goes, but I love watching Anthony Simons play. I think he's an electric player. I think he's super entertaining. He shoots a ton of threes. Joe Mazzulla's going to have him shooting 11 threes a game next year. And listen, like, you need somebody to take the shots and take the volume for Jason Tatum, who's out with the torn Achilles. So what you do is you flip a guy guy whose days are behind him. You're trying to cut costs for an expiring contract. You get the better player, and you get draft capital. And now, when Tatum comes back next year, you have a lot more financial flexibility to be able to, you know, find a way to make moves in the offseason around Jason Tatum. So I think that Brad Stevens pulled off a heist here. I think he made a great deal. I think the Celtics are better off in the short term, long term, and cap-wise because of this move.
Yeah. And can you explain to Atlanta Braves to me how you lose 2 out of 3 and going to have a match?
I have no idea. We're going to talk about it in the upcoming segment, and we're about to take a quick break here, Dubman. We appreciate your call. Of course. We're about to talk about this, but yeah, that's overall my thoughts on the Boston trade. John, before we shift gears to Braves in the upcoming segment, you got anything to add on Drew Holiday? And I got to be honest, Portland taking on a 35-year-old Drew Holiday at $32 million, $34 million, and then $37 million with a player option at age 37 in 2027, 2028? What are you doing? They're paying a combined $140 million this year to Drew Holiday, Jeremy Grant, and DeAndre Ayton. Seriously, what? You're in the most loaded conference in the history of NBA basketball, and you're putting your eggs in the basket of a big three of Ayton, Holiday, and Jeremy Grant? Just tank.
I just don't think listen, this is not a roster that's going to contend for a title, I don't think, but I applaud the move to not openly tank. I understand that there's a path in the NBA to tank and to get back, right? But I like seeing a small market team just not wave the white flag in the end of June before the season even gets started.
Yeah.
Based on what you have available to you, I get it. Is it the most exciting trade in the world? No. Did Boston probably come out as the winner of this trade? Yes, but as we just talked about the Hornets, who have no way out, no plan, no path, no nothing. I respect a team, even when they look up at the standings and they look at everything on paper, not just being completely terrified of what's in front and be like, no, we can go compete.
Well, the crazy thing now about the Western Conference, John, is you have zero teams tanking. The Jazz have been open. Like, Danny Ainge is going in press conferences saying, we are no longer tanking and we're never doing it again. Like, the Jazz are trying to move for either a max contract player or into the top three of the draft as we speak.
Right.
The Blazers just made a move to become more competitive overnight. The Spurs are making moves to become, like, everybody in the West is trying to win. Except the Suns. And even then, they still have, like, a top 12 player in the NBA on their team. So it's like, you can only suck so bad with a guy like Booker. The West is going to be a war next year. We're going to take a quick break here on the program, and we're going to shift gears on the other side. We'll wrap back to some NBA in the final hour because the draft is tomorrow, so we'll give you a little bit of a breakdown there as to what's going on with the NBA and what's going on with the NBA draft. The Hawks are trying to move into the top five. The Jazz have been trying to move up. We'll give you all the rumors and more. But in the next segment, the biggest ownership in Big Bro, Lil Bro in Major League Baseball is the Atlanta Braves and the New York Mets. I don't care what the record says, folks. We own those jokers in New York. 3-2 Braves over Mets last night. Ronnie hits another bomb and Olsen stays hot. I've got some stats for you and some breakdowns for the Atlanta Braves on the other side of a quick break with Faxon and John. Stick with us.
I'm Eddie Bennett. For 25 years, Bennett Equipment has sold and rented construction equipment. Bennett is one of Takeuchi's top dealers in the U.S. for the last 2 years by putting our customers first. And now Takeuchi is offering 0% financing on all equipment and attachments, along with an industry-leading 3-year, 3,000-hour warranty. As we celebrate 25 and 25, we want to thank our loyal customers for your business and trust. And as always, when you need equipment, buy it or rent it from Bennett.
Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products are compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Want a boost in and out of the bedroom? Hims has you covered. Introducing a new 2-in-1 approach to level up your game. Tadalafil for better bedroom performance and Zinc for testosterone support. Put it all together and you've got what you need to turn things all the way up. Getting started is simple. Just go to hims.com/radio to start your free online visit. Through Hims, you can access ED treatments, including pills, chews, and more, 100% online. No office visits, no pharmacy lines. Just fill out a simple intake form, and a licensed medical provider will determine if treatment's right for you. If prescribed, it ships free and discreetly to your door. Find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
There's a lot of talk about heroes these days.
Hey, buddy, you want to go fishing?
The folks in the funny outfits with superpowers and spandex.
All right, buddy, let me help you.
But at Ingles, we know that a lot of our heroes...
Now you look like a frog.
...are a little closer to home. They're the ones who give us what we need for those everyday adventures. That's why we look up to the ones who look out for us.
Don't forget your fish food. Catch a big one.
Ingles.
See you later, Dad.
All the ingredients for family.
Attention business owners, are you aware of the Corporate Transparency Act? If your business isn't properly registered, you could face a fine and jail time. The Wealth Training Academy can help make sure your business meets all legal requirements. Call or text CTA to 864-588-1100 for immediate assistance. That's CTA to 864-588-1100. WTA's Tax Division uses a Tax Advisor Group, LLC, which is an independent CPA tax reduction planning and preparation firm. Tax-related services are offered to help business owners and individuals create sound tax planning strategies that are custom suited to their needs and objectives.
Want to win the game? Put in your best players. The Trammell & Mills Law Firm hits the field running all the way to the end zone. If you've been in a wreck, gotten hurt at work, or suffered nursing home abuse, you want these guys on your team. They're local, they're experienced, and they're hungry for victory. They want to get you the money you deserve when fighting insurance companies. Call 485-8585 or go to TrammellandMills.com. The Trammell & Mills Law Firm, ready to win your game.
Hey, Mom, checking in on you and Dad. I saw there was a huge storm in your area last night.
Oh, we're great. Power is out in our neighborhood, but thank goodness our Generac home standby generator gave us backup power so your father could sleep. We didn't skip a beat.
Oh, wonderful. I know that CPAP is his lifeline at night, and with me living a state away, I can rest easy knowing you're both safe. Love you, Mom.
Love you too, son.
Call Central Electrical Services at 864-556-8002 for your free estimate today and peace of mind for your loved ones.
Hey, Saturday's coming fast, and we've got the talk to get you ready. This is College Football Talk on the Roar, where every day is game day.
Welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Faxon and John continues right here on the Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. Before we hop into some Atlanta Braves action, Morgan Coleman is where you need to go for all your real estate needs here in the upstate. Morgan Coleman, a Clemson women's soccer alum, a native of the upstate. She's hung up her cleats, but now she spends her time assisting buyers and sellers in the Greenville area. She provides her clients with a peace of mind, a team-oriented approach during one of the most important decisions of their lives. It's important to have early conversations with a trusted realtor like Morgan Coleman to help navigate the current market. If you are considering buying or selling, Morgan Coleman would love to chat. 864-313-7639 or search Morgan Coleman Real Estate online to get started. That's 864-313-7639 or search Morgan Coleman Real Estate online to get started. All right, hop in on Braves, folks. 654-ROAR. This team, I'm not sucked back in yet. They don't have me back in yet, but playing the Mets is always a nice get-right spot after dropping 2 out of 3 to the pesky Fish. And yes, that's a real statement. That is a real statement in 2025 after losing a series to the Marlins. The Braves bounced back against the 46-33 Mets and got a big-time win last night. Ronald Acuña Jr., I am running out of superlatives at this point for how good he's playing. He's playing like the best player on the planet right now. He's played like the best player on the planet since he was reintroduced to the lineup after the injury. And he had another home run last night. An RBI and 2 hits for Ronald. Matt Olson goes 2 for 5, scorches a double. His OBP's up to 359. His batting average is at 253. He's on a heater right now. We mentioned he's currently riding a 25-game on-base streak, which is the longest in baseball. And Ronald Acuña Jr. is riding a 19-game on-base streak, which is the second longest in baseball. You have two all-MLB-level players right now in Ronald Acuña Jr. and Matt Olson. The issue is the rest. And I saw a tweet from Scott Coleman that legitimately made me laugh so hard last night I was almost crying. So Scott Coleman tweets this, and I want to talk a little bit about the lineup, John, and we can do all the Braves talk that we usually do. He says this: I think you just need to stack Acuña, Olson, Ozuna, Riley, Baldwin, Murph, and let the 4 incompetents try and hit 6 through 9.
Because that's what the Braves have right now at the bottom of the lineup, with a corner outfield spot. Michael Harris, Nick Allen, and Ozzie Albies would be the four incompetents. And Nick Allen's hitting 223. Michael Harris hitting 221. Ozzie Albies hitting 222. I told you guys yesterday that those are three of the worst 10 qualified hitters in Major League Baseball. It's the truth. If you want to drop like the plate appearance qualifier, Verdugo's in that crowd as well. Now, Eli White's a little bit clear of that, but he's also clearly not the quality of a player as the guys that are higher in the lineup. I still do think Eli White needs to be playing every day, even though he didn't have a good game last night. So that's where I'm at on Atlanta right now. I fully agree with Scott Coleman's assessment. I think you need to get Ozzie out of that five spot, and you need to just stack the four incompetents at the bottom of the lineup. You need to play White instead of Verdugo, and he's not actually fully incompetent like Verdugo is. White's actually pretty darn good, so I'd put him into that six hole, and then I'd let just Ozzie, Nick Allen, and Michael Harris black hole ending you at 7, 8, 9, and just take it and hope that one of them could get on base and clear that spot whenever that time of the lineup card comes around. That's where I'm at right now in Atlanta. You're still not scoring a lot of runs. You really have two good players on the team right now that are carrying all of your offensive load, and this isn't a very sustainable path for success, in all honesty. Like, the Braves absolutely have to have one, if not two or three, of these premier players step up that are underperforming. Austin Riley is the highest paid player in the history of the franchise. You need to play better. This is the largest contract ever divvied out by the Atlanta Braves. You need to play better. I know Ozuna's hurt, and I know he walks a lot. You're not paying Ozuna $18 million to slug 413 and hit 250. He's got to play better. So with the Sale injury, we talked about how the outlook's a little bit more dim right now for the Braves short and long term. It's a good win last night. You need to find a way to win this series. But more importantly, this can't be Ronald Acuña Jr. and Matt Olson versus the world every game. You need the other players to step up and at least be semi-competent for the Braves to continue to win baseball games. Before we get into the discourse on the actual game last night and what happened, John, any thoughts overall on Atlanta and this lineup just still continuing to produce outside of two players?
I mean, this just kind of is what it is with this lineup at this, you know, this point right now. I tend to agree that you should just pretty much stack those guys near the bottom of the lineup and, you know, hope the other guys carry the weight, if you will.
The four incompetents made me burst out laughing. I hate Alex Verdugo. Play Eli White every day, please.
I think you... Honestly, I feel like the Braves... And listen, I've made my stance on it needs to be Eli White over that. I've pled my case. I don't need to do it again. But I think whoever you decide between White or Verdugo, I think you need to stick with one for like a couple of weeks straight.
Yes.
See what you get out of them and then try to go make a move for a corner outfielder if somebody playing every day doesn't give you increased production. Because I don't know how Eli White or Alex Verdugo are ever supposed to become a consistent player if they're not playing every day. Like, I think that you just need to try to give them more day-to-day baseball. See what turns out of it.
Texter says, can we use the Savannah Bananas golden batter rule every time Ozzie or Harris is hitting? I'm tired of watching them at the plate. John, I have some numbers for you last night. I promise I'm not trying to rip the guy. We all are sharing these frustrations. Michael Harris saw 16 pitches last night in 4 ABs. He swung at 13 of the 16 pitches he saw. 10 of those pitches were outside of the zone. Michael Harris saw 16 pitches last night, and he saw 13 balls. He swung at 13 pitches. He swung at 13 of the 16 pitches he saw last night. And also, seeing 16 pitches in 4 ABs is terrible. Now, I will give Michael Harris this. He is the worst qualified hitter in baseball right now, but he had an RBI last night, and you won the game. So we are fair around here. He had an RBI sack fly. Juan Soto made his first diving catch since the Reagan administration. I don't know how it happened, but Juan Soto decided that he wanted to try in the field for once. So I'm going to give Harris a little bit of a grace for last night specifically. But we continue to reiterate that this is the worst approach in Major League Baseball. I don't know if you need the Savannah Bananas golden batter rule. You might need divine intervention. You might need to just trade him to the Savannah Bananas for a couple games to iron out some kinks with the swing. But something needs to happen with Harris because this is not an acceptable standard for a major leaguer at the plate. Same can be said for Ozzie. And I'm not a jump-the-gun guy with roster moves up and down because I think
that's a little bit short-sighted when people are like, oh, just call them up. Like, you've got options, you've got service time, you've got arbitration, you've got team and club control. There are a lot of different factors into this that make it more, you know, complicated and nuanced than just calling a guy up and sending a guy down, right, John? But the Braves need Nacho Alvarez in this lineup right now with the way that he's hitting. Even I'm not even a big Nacho fan. I've told you guys that. Nacho's ripping it in AAA. Carlos Rodriguez is ripping it in AAA. I understand loyalty to major leaguers. I understand loyalty to guys like Michael Harris and Ozzie. Call the guys that are hitting in AAA up, because if you want any semblance of salvaging the season, you can't just keep rolling these guys back out there to go 0 for 3 and 0 for 4 on a game-to-game basis. At least rotate. Give them a day off. That's all I've asked for this whole time with Harris. Give him one day off. Eli White plays a really darn good center field defensively. You've seen it, John. Eli White can play center. Give the man one day off or send him down for a week. He needs a mental reset right now. Like, this is really, really, really bad stuff for Michael Harris, to the point where I'm, like, borderline concerned about him. This can't be easy on his mental. You know he's a young guy that sees all the hate on social media. He's the worst hitter in baseball right now. So, I'm concerned. I'm concerned for a lot of reasons. I'm concerned for a lot of reasons, John, about Michael Harris and Ozzie Albies. I brought those concerns up at the beginning of the year. A lot of people thought that they were going to iron out the kinks. That just hasn't really happened for either of those guys to date right now. Harris is still a Gold Glove level defender, but at what point does it not become worth it to have him in the lineup on a game-to-game basis, would be my question.
I don't know what you do.
I don't know what you do either. You suck. That's the point. That's the bottom line here, is that you suck. Your team sucks.
I don't know what you do at the bottom of this lineup. On the other side of things, what in the world is going on in Queens?
I don't, they're falling apart.
They have lost 9 of 10. 9 of 10. And they're still 46 and 33.
Yeah, they're still really good.
That record's insane. What is happening in the Big Apple? I am floored. Listen, I understand the Braves own the Mets. I get it. But they also looked like trash against Philly over the weekend, too. Like, this isn't an Atlanta thing. Or not just an Atlanta thing, because Atlanta's certainly doing what they need to do. I am floored by the implosion we are seeing right now.
The Mets are in free fall. And it almost increases the level of urgency for the Braves in these games, because you don't know when they're going to be this bad again. Right? Like, part of the losing streak is because of you. But they also got swept by the Rays, and they also lost 2 out of 3 to the Phillies. Like, this isn't just a Braves thing right now. The Braves will always own the Mets. I'm never going to be concerned about that. But the Mets are bad against other teams right now, and that hasn't been able to be said throughout the course of the season. Now, John, let me say this, because I do think this is worth acknowledging. And I'm not trying to call out the Mets, or the Mets are better than the Braves, okay? We've already established that. But it does feel worth acknowledging a couple interesting things about the New York Mets and some of their splits throughout the course of the season, okay? I want you to look at the schedule, and I want you to look at when the Mets went on this monumental heater to get to first place in the National League before they played the Atlanta Braves, and look at the just kind of the run of the mill and who they were playing. From May 26th until June 15th, let's say, with the Rays, or June 12th, we'll cut it off the series before the Rays. White Sox, Rockies, Dodgers, Rockies, Nationals. They played the four worst teams in the majors, and the Dodgers in between that. The Rockies did beat the Braves twice. Let me just go ahead and get that out of the way.
Yeah, they won all six.
So, I'm not saying that the Mets aren't good, but I have said this whole time, even with the Mets in first place, that this is Philadelphia's division to lose, and Philadelphia is the runaway best team in this division. I don't care what the record says. I know they're only like a game up or whatever. Philadelphia moves me about 10 times more than the New York Mets move me. Maybe it's a Braves bias thing, because we own the Mets and the Phillies own us, but the Phillies strike fear into my heart. The Mets? Nah, I'm not worried about the Mets.
They did take a series from the Dodgers and then push in a 4-game set.
They did.
The one you referred to, then a couple weeks earlier, they took 2 of 3 from them.
They did.
They've had some, you know, impressive series results over the course of this season. Swept Philadelphia back in April.
Mets are a good team.
They're just in a very, very bad spot, and I don't know. Oh, good for them, because right after this series with the Atlanta Braves, they're going to Pittsburgh. So that's where the get right spot is. All right, we found it on the schedule. They get the Pirates coming up.
We need you. We need you.
Oh, that's a waste of your time and energy and effort.
We need you. Give a Skeen. Are we getting Skeens for one game? Because there's a good chance that they win the game if we're getting Skeens. Are we getting Skeens?
Does not look to be the
Gosh,
case.
Come on, man. We can't have anything. Keller, yeah. Falter, and Burrows. I think you're missing Skeens by one day.
So that is correct. He will be pitching Wednesday in the series finale against Milwaukee.
Man, maybe we should bump him back if anybody in Pittsburgh is listening. But in all seriousness, John, we'll talk about the game last night, specifically on the other side. As far as big picture goes for the Braves, I'm not giving up yet. I've said this multiple times.
Nor should you.
I might be the only delusional one in the world that hasn't completely punted. My goal this whole time has been to get to 500 before the All-Star break. And right now, you're five games underneath 500. You have an advantageous schedule in front of you after you clear the Mets and the Phillies. You have Angels, Orioles, A's, Cardinals are your four series entering the All-Star break. You have a chance to build some equity and make up some ground. You also would like to believe that you're getting Chris Sale back into the mix after the All-Star break, provided he's able to heal on a decent basis. He's still traveling with the team right now. They seem positive about the outlook and recovery. Fractured ribs are no joke, folks. I fractured multiple ribs. That's not a joke of an injury, especially for a pitcher that's having to use so much torque on their abdomen to generate power to throw the ball. That's something that's going to be really tricky. But the goal right now for Atlanta has been the goal the whole time. Get to 500 at the All-Star break. Get healthy after the All-Star break. Let the chips fall with one of the easiest schedules in baseball in the back half. Because the two toughest schedules in Major League Baseball right now are the Braves and the Pirates. Those are the two teams that have played the toughest schedules. They played the most teams over 500. They played the best teams in the league. And we can, like, poke fun at the Braves about it, and even I did it as well. The Braves starting out the season with no Acuña or Schrider on the road in L.A. where they already play bad, then going to San Diego where they also play bad, put you seven games in the hole. Without those seven games, the narrative's a lot different on this team, and we can't just completely discount them. But when you look at how they played since getting Acuña back, it has been generally better. You just need to keep chipping away and making strides at that deficit, and that can happen tonight on Strider Day against Frankie Montas, who has been garbage in AAA. And we'll run you through some numbers on the other side of a quick break. Faxon and John talking Braves in hour number two. Get in with us at 654-ROAR.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT.